Blog Talk Radio.
Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells us so, how do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, cause I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes, and I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage drunk and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. I drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Flory Pickup from Michigan. And we want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day all across America. There's fireworks, festivities, family gatherings, and barbecues. Then there's shootings and bad government. Let's talk about it. Two important questions for tonight's episode. What does Independence Day mean to you as an American? And also, why is or isn't America the greatest country in the world? Call us tonight at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Do not speak over the host, please. And visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We have blogs on there, and also you can leave comments. Our Kitchen Politics 123 radio show, we are the Kitchen Politics 123 radio show with David Franklin and Lori Picka. And we're not antisocial, just anti-stupid. And let's get cooking. Are you ready to
yes,
go, David?
Yes, ready. The next thing, the first thing on the agenda is 25 fascinating 4th of July facts to share with everybody.
Yeah.
And as you celebrate the red, white, and blue with these sparkling 4th of July facts, who doesn't love fireworks, bonfires, and barbecues? July 4th is full of fun, but how much do you know about this patriotic holiday? These interesting 4th of July facts are perfect for sharing with people of all ages. They make great mini history lessons at school and at home. So what's number one, Lori?
The Continental Congress voted for independence on July 2nd, 1776. And it says, despite John Adams wanting the holiday to be celebrated on July 2nd, that's not the day we celebrate our nation's independence. We celebrate on July 4th, since it was the day the Declaration of Independence was formally adopted.
Number two, President Zachary Taylor, he was a Whig. He wasn't a Democrat, and the Republicans weren't formed yet. He died in 1850 after eating spoiled fruit following 4th of July speeches. Zachary Taylor was a military leader before serving briefly as president from 1849 to 1850. Following his death, Vice President Millard Fillmore became president after Taylor's death.
All righty. And number three, in 1781, Massachusetts became the first state to declare the 4th of July as an official state holiday. Despite its early adoption as a state holiday, July 4th wasn't declared as a federal holiday until 1941.
Number four, the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is tapped 13 times every July 4th in honor of the original 13 colonies. The Liberty Bell explicitly states its purpose with an inscription that reads, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. As a result, it has stood as a symbol of freedom for groups championing civil rights.
Yes, and number five, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on July 4th, 1826. This is one of the most ironic 4th of July facts. These two famous signers of the Declaration of Independence both died on its 50th anniversary. James Monroe, the 5th U.S. president, would later die on July 4th, 1831. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Wow.
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that.
Cool Cal, right? Same here. Cool Cal, Calvin Coolidge, Republican from Massachusetts, is the only U.S. president that was born on 4th of July. Coolidge served as governor of Massachusetts and vice president before him being elected president in 1923.
Okay.
He was the 30th president of the United States.
Oh, okay. Number seven, Americans spend more than $1 billion on fireworks annually. Though large, that number includes both personal and public purchases. That's a lot of money.
Yep. And, you know, we'll have to ask the listeners out there, if you have fireworks, be careful. And, you know, be considerate of your neighbors, because some people went to wars, suffer from PTSD, and others have animals, especially dogs who are scared of the fireworks. So, you know, tone it down a little bit. Be considerate.
Yep.
You know,
good idea.
Enough of going until like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and for the rest of the week.
No.
That's inconsiderate. Number 8, the Star-Spangled Banner became the United States National Anthem in 1931. The ballad was written by Francis Scott Key on September 14th, 1814.
Alrighty. And then Bristol, Rhode Island, was home to the first 4th of July parade in 1785. Today, Bristol hosts an annual celebration that begins on Flag Day and commences with a parade on the 4th of July.
Number 10, Coney Island, New York, hosts a famous televised hot dog eating contest every year on July 4th. Multiple times champion Joy Chestnut holds a hot dog eating record at 76 hot dogs in just 10 minutes. Okay, that's interesting.
That makes me want to vomit.
This is disgusting.
That is, wow. Okay. The Philippines also celebrate their independence on July the 4th. After falling under Japanese control during World War II, the U.S. and Filipino forces fought together to regain control. They gained their independence on July 4th, 1946. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's known as the Philippines Republic Day. Number 12, George Washington celebrated the July 4th holiday by giving his soldiers a double ration of rum. Soldiers often went days without food despite supposed daily rations.
Wow. Interesting. And so they gave him rum, huh? Okay.
Number 13.
Guidelines for flag etiquette, including rules for the 4th of July, can be found in the U.S. Flag Code. If you're looking for the 4th of July facts about flag etiquette, here's one to share. Congress passed a joint resolution on June 22nd, 1942, I think I've read it before, actually.
Number 14, our neighbors to the north celebrate Canada Day just 3 days prior to our Independence Day celebration. Canadians celebrate the anniversary of the Constitution Act on July 1st. The Act joined three territories together in 1867, therefore establishing the single nation of Canada.
Interesting. Number 15, Edward Rutledge was the youngest person to sign the Declaration of Independence at 26 years old, while Benjamin Franklin was the oldest at 70 years old. When people think of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, they likely think of John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson. In total, however, there were 56 signers. I didn't know that either.
Yes. Yes, and Grandpa Benjamin was one. Number 16, there are more than 314 million people living in the United States today, but there were just 2.5 million living there in 1776. Each year, the Census Bureau uses information on births, deaths, migration to calculate U.S. population.
Okay. Number 17, hospitals have an influx of patients on each July 4th as the result of fireworks-related mishaps. Close to 16,000 people were hospitalized with fireworks-related injuries in 2020. Anyone planning to use fireworks at home should be sure to learn proper safety protocol beforehand. Very important, absolutely.
Yeah. And the younger people these days, what they're doing is putting fireworks up their bums and trying to shoot it out. I don't know what purpose that serves, but yeah. You know, don't put in fireworks up your ass. That's not right. That's not a thing, okay? You know, so you end up in hospital with third degree burns to your ass, your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Not cool. Number 18, on July 6, 1776, Pennsylvania Evening Post became the first newspaper to print the Declaration of Independence. Published by Benjamin Towne, the Pennsylvania Evening Post is the first daily newspaper in the United States.
Wow. Okay, number 19, prior to the Civil War, it was deemed unpatriotic for business owners to keep their establishment open on July the 4th. It has since become more acceptable for businesses to remain open on the holiday. Many businesses even run special sales to commemorate the day. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's all about greed. Yeah. What can I say?
It's all about greed is right.
Number 20, there have been 27 versions of the U.S. flag. The original flag featured 13 stars and stripes for the 13 colonies. Today's version of the flag can be following the addition of the 50 stars in 1960 to represent Hawaii.
Hmm. 21. At least 30 places in the United States contain the word liberty in their name. Florida, Georgia, Montana, and Texas each have a Liberty County. The largest city is Liberty, Missouri, with a population of 29,000 people.
Mm-hmm. 22. Americans consume approximately 150 million hot dogs every 4th of July. Again, that's, you know, gross. Yeah. If you ever know what hot dogs are made of, you probably wouldn't eat it. The hot dog eaten on Independence Day would stretch all the way from Washington, D.C., to Los Angeles or Louisiana more than five times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. 23, not all Americans gained freedom on July the 4th. Enslaved black people in America didn't gain their freedom until June 19th, 1865. Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, and then now, the Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Hence the Juneteenth celebration yearly. It's now a national holiday.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Number 24, former President Barack Obama, his older daughter, Malia Obama, was born July 4th, 1998. As a result of their accomplishments, Malia and her younger sister, Sasha, were named two of the most influential teens of 2014 by Time magazine. Today, Malia works as a writer for a new Netflix series.
Oh, I didn't know that. Congrats to her. Number 25, John Hancock was the first person to sign the Declaration of Independence on August the 2nd, 1776. No one has a more recognizable signature than John Hancock. Was serving as the president of the Second Continental Congress during 1776.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. So those are 25 fascinating facts about United States on the 4th of July. So do you have anything to add when you call in about interesting facts about July 4th? Call us. Let us know. The number is 515-605-9802. We'd love to hear from everybody. you know, and hopefully you tell five people, and those five people tell five people, and those people tell five people, and so on, mm-hmm. and it just multiplies as listeners grow, not only in the United States, but also around the world, as we had calls internationally mm-hmm. from Germany, mm-hmm. Philippines, wherever. So our first mm-hmm. call here, hello caller, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Happy Independence Day, what's cooking?
Well,
hello, hello.
Me. Hi,
yeah.
Hi, Lori. Hi, David. Here I am. Sounds interesting.
Wasn't it interesting?
I said it sounds interesting. Carry on.
Oh, okay.
So, what you have anything planned for tomorrow on Independence Day?
You know, with everything that's going on, especially the Supreme Court, my heart
mm-hmm.
isn't in it. It just
yeah.
isn't
mm-hmm.
into the celebration this year.
You know, I wanted
Maybe I
to
shouldn't
ask,
feel that way, but I do.
I wanted
mm-hmm.
to ask something. I have noticed as I travel around, you know, my area where I live and, you know, Macomb and Shell, but, you know, as I travel around, there's not many American flags out like there used to be. Am I the only one noticing that?
I've noticed that.
You've noticed that
I've noticed
well?
That we've got ours out. Last year I took it down because somebody sort of bought a flag and it was made in China and I wouldn't put it up.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I've just, you know, I was just kind of throwing that out there because it just seems like there's usually more people that have their flags out. And I've just been noticing that I don't know for one reason or another. Is it a political reason? They're just flat. You know?
I've noticed
yeah,
a few people
reason.
That I know what how they feel politically,
mm-hmm.
and I think they feel like their heart just isn't in it this year. Normally,
mm-hmm.
they
yeah.
have this flag out
but,
also.
You know,
it's not out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't put out a flag is because of all people driving by thinking I'm a Republican, because it seems to me that Republicans think that they own the flag, you know?
No,
yeah,
they
right-wing
have
people
their flag out. They have what they have done is disgrace the American flag by putting
yes,
Trump's
yes.
picture on it.
Oh, yeah.
Or Melania's
mm-hmm.
picture on it. That is defacing the flag. Period.
Yeah,
they get all upset over somebody stomping on it to prove a point, and yet they fly a flag with Trump's face, Melania's face on it.
I know.
It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes people wear it as a headband, so is that the face of a flag? I guess that
mm-hmm.
is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay, so... Yeah, on to that next thing. There's this post by Juanita T. Griffin on Facebook, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
she reflect on abortion issues and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you ready to do this, Laurie? We're
mm-hmm.
going to go
Go
through,
ahead.
You know, the line and everything. So
mm-hmm.
it's a conversation between a pro-lifer and a pro-choicer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready? Well, the mother should just give the baby up for adoption if she doesn't want a baby.
So, who will adopt the baby?
I don't know. There are a lot of couples who want to adopt.
Well, personally, but like I know there's lots of people waiting to adopt.
Do you know
what
domestic adoption? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. That was my line. Do you know what domestic
yes.
adoption costs? Go ahead, David.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. $15,000 maybe.
The average cost of a domestic adoption in the United States is $70,000 if you go through a private agency.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that much.
Yep, it's really expensive. It can be more if you want a newborn straight from the hospital, up to $120,000.
Well, all life is precious.
It really is. I've adopted through foster care and am currently a licensed foster parent. Would you be interested in becoming a foster parent yourself?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that, no.
Well, why not?
It would be too much for me right now.
And why is that?
It would be too hard to handle all the issues that came up with it. I've heard horror stories.
Yes, that can be extremely difficult. But if I told you that you were required by law to become a foster parent, what if I
what?
Told you that? What if you had to become a foster parent by law?
They would never do that. That would never happen.
Well, if I'm a woman, is forced to bear a child she doesn't want, and she goes ahead and has a child, someone has to care for the child, either through adoption or foster care. You have to do one of those two things.
But I don't want any more kids.
So you don't want someone forcing you to have a child in your home that you don't want or aren't able to care for?
No, that's not my job to raise someone else's child. Yep. So there it is, folks. Yep.
Have a baby.
Yes. So these right-wing lunatics want people to have children to kind of take care of, and they don't want anything to do with it afterwards. So they're pro-life, but when a child is born, they don't give a shit about a child. Got you, right-wing nut jobs. Got you. Loud and clear.
Yeah. So that is the perfect fit because I love the foster parent part,
mm-hmm.
And I thought about that before. I thought if I ever get in another conversation with somebody, I am definitely going to ask them, would you be a foster parent to someone that's going to have an abortion and see what their answer is? And you know what their answer would be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this really says a lot. I really like
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
the next. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, people are just disgraceful and awful.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda tonight, should we do a comparison between Marianne Williamson and RFK Jr. Six key different issues. They were running for the Democratic nomination and challenging President Joe Biden, the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And these six issues are the fundamental differences between all three candidates and everything. And Joe Biden's Democratic challengers differentiating themselves on key issues, including the economy, the Russia-Ukraine war, transgender rights, ahead of the Democratic primary. So Joe Biden, as we all know, announced in April plans to run for re-election despite concerns from some Democrats about his age and electability. He remains a front-runner in the primary, but has drawn two major challengers, former presidential candidate in 2016 and author Marianne Williamson, an environmental lawyer, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a member of the famous Kennedy political dynasty. Biden's opponents have broken from him over the key aspects of his agenda as they work to win the Democratic voters skeptical of another Biden term. Williamson positioned herself to Biden's left, while Kennedy Jr. has aligned himself with the conservatives over some crucial cultural issues, including his skepticism surrounding the COVID-19 vaccine. I think the drugs fried his brain. Both campaigns are viewed as long shots, however, and Biden remains heavily favored to snag the nomination. Incumbent presidents rarely lose primaries, but polls show many Democratic voters are vying for a Biden alternative. Okay, so here are the views of where each Democratic candidate stands on key issues facing voters ahead of 2024 elections.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation and the economy.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. The economy is a major issue in the Democratic primary, with Biden facing criticism from both his right and left over handling of myriad issues, including inflation and high gas. Myriad, yes. issues, including inflation and high gas prices. Biden has sought to tie inflation to the COVID-19 recovery and the economic fallout from the Russia-Ukraine war. He has highlighted his administration's effort to combat high inflation, including the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, a bill he signed into law that proponents say would reduce inflation through corporate taxes and IRS enforcement, while also investing in areas like climate change and health care. Democrats have praised the legislation for investing in progressive priorities while also tackling inflation, the rate of which it has decreased in recent months. Go ahead, David.
So Williamson, however, blamed inflation and price gouging by corporations. An April 2022 interview with Market Watch stated, she has also supported stronger regulations to rein in corporate rule in the United States. Quote, all of those CEOs who testified before Congress and talked about the ways that they have, for the sake of their own profits, gouged American people, particularly at such times as this. And this is what happens when you normalize such a lack of conscience and such a lack of ethics within our system, end quote. That's according to Marianne Williamson. Beyond inflation, Williamson called for fundamental economic reform in a previous interview with Newsweek. She said she supports wide-ranging economic policies, including universal health care, tuition-free higher education and tech schools, free child care, paid family leave, sick pay, and a guaranteed living wage. We all agree with that, and, the way the system is now set up, we have to move in increments. We'd love a big thing like FDR had the New Deal program and everything, but times and politics have changed, and we need to, make incremental steps in going in that direction. So she's right when she said we need all these things. So Kendall June has also made reigning in corporate rule a cornerstone of his campaign. In an April appearance on Tucker Carlson Tonight, he said corporate power is turning the United States into a corporate kleptocracy. Not turning into, it is.
It is. It is. Quote, absolutely.
Yes.
It is.
Quote, there's a cushion socialism for the rich and this kind of brutal, merciless capitalism for the poor. It keeps us in a state of war. It bails out of banks. It bails out banks at the same time, Kennedy Jr. added. He also criticized Biden's reassurance that the banking system is safe and sound after First Republic Bank failed early in May. And it's not the president's fault. It wasn't Biden's fault. It was a lack of policies I'm looking for the word, the particular word.
Regulations.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump dropped the regulations, and that's what happened to First Republic Bank. So don't blame Joe Biden for that. Blame Donald Trump, previous administration. The American people deserve more than glib assurances and perception management, end quote.
Kennedy Jr.'s campaign website also highlights his economic focus on revitalization, including support for rebuilding industrial infrastructure that he says has been ruined by free trade agreements, policies to support small, medium-sized businesses, and breaking up too-big-to-fall banks and monopolies.
Then
he goes on the Russia-Ukraine war. The Russia-Ukraine war continues dominating U.S. foreign policy. The Biden administration has overseen the supply of billions of dollars worth of weaponry and aid to Ukraine, who has been fighting Russian forces since last February. A key ally to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, Biden also offered sharp criticisms against Russian President Vladimir Putin. When Putin launched his invasion nearly 1 year ago, he thought Ukraine was weak and the West was divided, Biden said in February. He thought he could outlast this, but he was dead wrong. And he was dead wrong. Because they are still going strong, and I am not against us helping Ukraine at all, because they are a democracy, mm-hmm. and we need that democracy in our country and in the world. We need another democracy mm-hmm. in the world. We don't need another mm-hmm. Russia, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah, I think what Putin is trying to do is build up the Russian Empire to be what the Soviet Union once was, a world
yeah.
power with nuclear arms
yeah.
and capabilities and everything. And, you know, when 1989 came and the Berlin Wall fell, we guaranteed or we made a deal, a pact with Russia that said mm-hmm. that, you know, if and when all communist states and the Warsaw Pact fell and it became a democracy, that the United States and NATO will not be on the doorstep of Russia and inviting them
mm-hmm.
into NATO. So that was a prerequisite Vladimir Putin used to say, hey, you put in nuclear weapons and capabilities on the border with me. What's that about? I thought we had an agreement. But it wasn't a written agreement. It was a verbal agreement. So
yes,
I'm not trying to legitimize why Vladimir Putin invaded the sovereign Ukraine. But, you know, I reiterate my point where I said he's trying to rebuild the Soviet Union into an empire that was big. That was one of the two superpowers in the world at the time. So Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
has broken from Biden's Ukraine policy, blaming the war on Zelensky's refusal to say Ukraine would not join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. He has also accused the White House of trying to prolong the war, calling the U.S. to broker peace to end the ongoing conflict rather than continuing the supply of aid. Quote, my understanding of the war is that Zelensky is pushing this war as hard as he can, but that the neocons in the White House want this war. They want regime change with the Russians, Kennedy Jr. said in a recent interview with the podcast All In, adding that Biden's goal is the opposite of humanitarian mission. So Robert Kennedy
mm-hmm.
Jr. is saying that the military-industrial complex and mm-hmm. neoliberals and neocons pushing this war because war equal big profits for corporations like Lockheed Martin and private individuals and all. And he may have a point to a certain extent, but we'll just kind of pull out and leave Zelensky and Ukraine to fend
no.
for themselves because Russia will just overpower them.
And, you know, the other thing is we've been watching Zelensky ever since this all started, and that man has not given up. I find
mm-hmm.
him to be an awesome leader. I think he loves his country. He loves his people. And he is very strong-minded and is not going to give up. And I don't think this is the reason that he wants – I mean, the reason he wants – he loves – his country. He wants to keep it as a democracy. And everything that I've seen before, slides or movies of Ukraine, it was a beautiful country. It's just, it is absolutely destroyed now. And many of the cities
mm-hmm.
destroyed in
mm-hmm.
shambles. And that is, it's awful. And this is what Putin has done to a country. And they've had to flee. They have, their homes are gone. And he doesn't care. And so
mm-hmm.
I am for democracy. I am for them helping the people of Ukraine. That's what I'm for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I waste a lot.
And the thing about it, the thing about Ukraine and Russia, they have a long history, centuries history. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
similar and they share bloodlines and everything. You know, but
mm-hmm.
Ukraine has been like little brother of Russia, basically. And ethnic
mm-hmm.
Ukrainians, you know, speak Russian, they speak their language, Ukrainian language and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that connection
mm-hmm.
and closeness. Culturally, you know, they're similar, you know, but that
mm-hmm.
don't give the right for Russia to invade a sovereign nation, you know.
No.
And after World War II, Stalin went in there and conquered Ukraine, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and former Soviet Union and everything. And again,
mm-hmm.
back then, after World War II, people were fed up and sick of war. So they just made Stalin do what they wanted. And if you remember that
mm-hmm.
speech by the then Prime Minister of Great Britain, Winston Churchill,
mm-hmm.
he warned about the Iron Curtain. Nothing was done. Stalin, you know, just did what he wanted to do in Eastern Europe. You know, invaded Poland, took over, put a communist regime in there, Yugoslavia. Whichever country
mm-hmm.
can think of in Eastern Europe, formed the Warsaw Pact,
mm-hmm.
Czechoslovakia is one of them, who fought in 1956 to break away from the USSR, but was unsuccessful, unfortunately. You know,
mm-hmm.
the Prague Uprising of 1956, if people want to, like, Google that and, you know, learn about that. You know, and then after mm-hmm. 1949, when secrets were spilled, the Soviets got their hands on how to make an atomic bomb, and hence the Cold
mm-hmm.
War started. You know, and the rest is history, as we say. You know, and
yep.
Stalin did things who, you know, people who didn't align with him in Ukraine. He made millions of people suffer through starvation and death. You know,
mm-hmm.
he did nothing for them. So the cruelty of Russia and the former
mm-hmm.
Soviet Union against Ukrainians especially is a harsh history. And Ukraine wants to stand out independent and bold. And they have, you know, unlimited resources in terms of ore, iron, copper, different things.
Yes, they
wheat
do.
Wheat, especially. And Eastern
yeah.
Europe depend on wheat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They have oil, crude oil, you know,
mm-hmm.
which Russia wants. Crude oil equals big money. You know, Russia have
yep.
their own oil, but, you know, the more the merrier. So
mm-hmm.
it's more economic. Why the United States are in there is not about spreading democracy per se, but defending
mm-hmm.
those oil fields and those wheat fields and what
mm-hmm.
have you. And it goes for Russia as well. It's all about,
mm-hmm.
you know, what a certain country has. Why don't they go
mm-hmm.
inside Sudan and try to help those people having a civil war? You know, why don't they go into certain African nations? Why? Because of black and, you know, who cares about black people? You know?
Yeah.
The same reason why we didn't talk about Russia bombing Syria. You know, they don't
mm-hmm.
have any natural resources. So, you know, so,
yep.
well, you know, that's just my take, really. But anyway, we're carrying on.
Okay, Williamson, who notably called for a U.S. Department of Peace and has been critical of the U.S. foreign policy establishment, has been more supportive of Biden's approach to the Russia-Ukraine war. She wrote in February Substack post that the U.S. should not give Vladimir Putin a pass on perpetuating an imperialistic war. With regard to aid, Williams said, she does not support giving Ukraine a blank check, but does believe the U.S. should continue giving it support to push back an aggressor who would end its sovereign right to exist. The battle for America's
mm-hmm.
economic soul exists separately through tangentially to our foreign policy.
Tangentially.
Yeah, well, that's a term. To our foreign policy demands, Franklin Roosevelt passed the New Deal and led us through World War II, she wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Vladimir Putin, not Vladimir, Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, man. Okay, we have a new mm-hmm. caller here. I think this is from the Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, I think. You know. Okay, so the questions for tonight. What does Independence Day mean to you as an American? Question two, why isn't America the greatest country in the world? Hello,
mm-hmm.
caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, it's Khalil.
Hey.
Hi.
Khalil, welcome.
Okay. The thing about independence means that you do a lot, you have a lot of rights with the responsibility and vice versa,
mm-hmm.
not just rights with responsibility, because a lot of people want to talk about rights with responsibility, but they don't want to talk about it the other way around. So it's vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
the great country as far as, like, you know, all the technology we have and stuff like that, but it's not, some of the politics are not the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, the education system is not perfect. We'll have
mm-hmm.
people like Moms for Liberty and Betsy DeVos trying to privatize education and get rid of
mm-hmm.
public schools and defunding public schools. you know, and teach them their curriculum and whitewashing history. So in that sense, America is not the greatest country. You know, back in the 1960s and before that, especially during World War II, we created things. We're good in science. We're good in math. We're good in reading. But no, it is just, you know, 127th in math, 120th in reading. How did we get this far down the totem pole of, you know, being number one in these things or in the top 10 at least? You know, so I wouldn't say America's the greatest country in the world. In certain things, yes, we're good at fighting wars. Vietnam, we lost. Korean War, we lost. You know, going into other people's countries and invading, like Grenada, 1983, to defend democracy. Going into Iraq, when there's no reason to go into Iraq because Iraq was not responsible for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have friends like Saudi Arabia still, who supported Osama bin Laden and funded them up to a particular time? You know, so we're not the greatest country in the world.
No. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. But what does make America great? Culturally, we have a good assimilation of people from all over the world, with their different cultures, their different unique languages, their different cuisines. Food is a thing that brings people together and everything. The music, you know, as Bob Marley said, when the music hits, you feel no pain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Music brings people together. Food and recipes bring people together. That brings America together, you know. But politics tear people apart. Religion tear people apart. You know, we need more music. We need more food. We need more communication between the different ethnicities. Because, you know, believe it or not, America was built on immigrants. And real Americans are Native Americans. So anybody who is saying, oh, go back to your country, you know, even though they're a fifth-generation American, your original forefathers weren't American. So why should you come here and don't give other people a chance to come and try to build a life? The so-called American dream that we talked about last night, you know, is that a fallacy? Or is the American dream only a dream when you're sleeping? You know, so...
Right. We think that, don't we?
Yeah.
And people who claim that they only want people to come legally, those people need to get off the high horses and at least help fix the immigration system. And, you know, like you say, stop invading other countries, because those are two reasons that people are coming here illegally, because we're invading their country, and then we're being two things for immigration.
Absolutely right.
I mean, back in the 1960s and 1970s. Sorry, Laurie, go ahead.
It's all right, go ahead.
Yeah, back in the 1960s and 1970s, when, for example, President Allende in Ecuador, Chile. He was a democratic socialist, no, wasn't communist. Socialism and communism are two different things. But the CIA, red herring, you know, put in their people, just like they did the bear pigs. And the bear pigs came out very embarrassed as Fidel Castro whooped America's butt in the bear pigs. They tried it in Chile with Allende. He was democratic socialist. But because Allende took back the banana company and nationalized corporations that made oil and, you know, other products, America didn't like that because it cut into their economic interests. So what it did is, you know, send refugees who fled Allende to come back and fight for quote-unquote democracy. You know, Allende was killed, whether by suicide or by the hands of Augusto Pinochet, his blood enemy, who came and took after afterwards, you know. And Pinochet was even a lot worse, you know. So in America, you know, invade any country and say, hey, we're defending democracy. Just look what they have in terms of natural resources, you know, and that's the real reason why we, the United States, would be in that country. You know, that's how I see it. And the war industry makes tons of money. You know, these little wars all over the place where the United States go and everything. You know, war equal profit.
So, So are you saying basically that you think we're in Ukraine for money and resources, or are we there maybe for a good heartfelt reason as well?
Well, yes, for good reasons, but as Marianne Williamson said, that, you know, we need not to just have a blank check. And Bobby Kennedy Jr. is saying we shouldn't that just give unlimited resources. However, on the flip side of that, whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president, the war industrial, the military industrial complex have a huge part to play in it, because war equal money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I agree with that. I mean, I'm agreeing mm-hmm. with what you're saying. I'm just wondering, you know, were our motives, you know, pure? And probably not.
No.
Maybe 50-50. You know,
no.
maybe 50-50. No. You know, I don't know.
Maybe.
I'd like to
maybe.
Think
who knows?
That our motives, I'd like to think that our motives were pure when we went in there for good reasons. You know, to save a country, to save, save people. That would be my hope, but I guess in reality,
mm-hmm.
Probably not all true. You know, the G7
mm-hmm.
is also helping. We're not the only ones that are
mm-hmm.
providing aid.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their reasons as well. I know that. So I just want to try to think of Ukraine as, you know, a country that's been invaded by an evil man that is drunk on power, and we're trying to save him, and we're Superman. That's how I want
mm-hmm.
to think about it. But I know that it's
mm-hmm.
not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really want it to be. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah. We can
that's
always hope. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, but we all mm-hmm. know that the 1% in this country have their, you know, stake in it.
Well, of course.
And
you know. We're trying to keep it lighthearted, you know, and that's what I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, lighthearted, yes, but you know.
Elaine.
Isn't there a big difference between helping and invading? Now, we went over to Iraq. We went over there
mm-hmm.
because we were lied to. We were told
mm-hmm.
there was weapons of mass destruction. So that
mm-hmm.
was a war for profit, for Halliburton.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Russia invaded Ukraine for no reason at all. None.
Mm-hmm.
Their ulterior motive, in my opinion, is they thought they were going to walk through Ukraine, and then they were going to walk through Poland and Germany, and then they were going to finish it off with England and France.
Oh,
that's
sure.
my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I see nothing wrong with helping our neighbor. Now, if your neighbor is getting beat up, you're going
mm-hmm.
to go outside and you're going to try to stop it one way or another. And if there is
mm-hmm.
no police department, you're going to give your neighbor a stick or a board so they can defend
mm-hmm.
themselves. And that's how I view what
mm-hmm.
we're doing in Ukraine. We are giving them the sticks and the stones so they can
mm-hmm.
defend themselves.
Yeah. Not
yeah,
a,
okay.
Not
I'm
a,
not I'm not disagreeing with you. But at the same
mm-hmm.
time, when you look at the history of the United States, especially after
mm-hmm.
the Korea War, especially after Vietnam, our stakes have to be very high in it, because the country that we're quote-unquote helping to spread democracy has natural resources that we want a piece of.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a reality. You do
yeah,
you disagree with that?
You mean when the different countries that you were talking about, there is a big difference. There's a big difference between what's happening in Ukraine, and I gave the example. We had no business
mm-hmm.
going into Iraq.
No,
period.
Yeah, but okay.
And that was
I agree
for
with
oil.
You.
And
point.
That was for Halliburton.
Was for
and
oil.
Halliburton was owned by Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he made big bucks on that war.
That's the point I'm trying to make. If Iraq didn't have any oil, would have the United States invaded Iraq? No.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think they would have.
Yeah, just like how Ukraine has ore and different minerals and wheat, which is important to the world, feed more than half the world. We'll go in there to help them so we could get a piece of that profit. That's just the bottom line. It's economics, the economic interest in the United States. That's how I view it. And your points are well taken and valid as well, that we have to go there and help people and what have you. I'm not disagreeing with that, but we have to look on the flip side of that. If Ukraine had no natural resources, we would not help them.
I don't think we would. I think it would have been different. I think Ukraine would have been a different scenario because Russia became a bully. I mean, Ukraine is a country that is self-sufficient, and we can trade with them, but I don't see where it's that we're helping for financial reasons. The financial reasons will be that we will trade with them. But so will Poland, and so will Germany, and so will Italy, and so will France. We will all trade with them. And we were trading with them before Russia invaded them.
There
was already trade between the countries. But Russia decided to be a bully. And, you know, France is helping out.
Yeah,
and
Germany
so is Germany, and so is Poland. There's
two
countries helping Ukraine stand on their feet. And this is something that hasn't been done, I don't think, in a long, long time, where we're helping a country do it by themselves.
Vietnam, but we failed miserably. That's the last time we tried to help a country.
That was a nightmare. And, you know, what I still get upset about when I think about Afghanistan, you know, and Iraq, you know, the weapons of destruction, you know, the lies that they told, you know, I mean, I personally fell for it. I really
did. I did too.
There were weapons. I mean, I wasn't a Bush fan, trust me, and I wasn't a Cheney fan, but they made it realistic, and I really thought that there were weapons of mass destruction, and they were doing the right thing. I honestly and truly, but in hindsight,
I didn't believe that.
You know,
yeah, I'm sorry, ladies, but I didn't believe that crock of shit that Cheney said about weapons of mass destruction and what have you.
I didn't.
Republicans are all liars, these people.
I'm saying that I did. I fell for it in the beginning. I sure did. Absolutely fell for it. And I say that without shame because I guess I trusted Bush, not that I voted for him, but, you know, I really thought they were onto something, but I was wrong. And, you know, it's hard to trust ever again, you know, and I understand that part. You know, but I feel that, you know, we don't have boots on the ground in Ukraine. We do not have boots on the ground. We've kept our word not to have boots on the ground. And, you know, I just feel like we're helping this country. And I really kind of want to black out the rest of it because I just want to keep it, I don't know. I just want to keep it happy, I guess. You know,
the other thing that I see that's going on that we need to help Ukraine is that Russia hired mercenaries to go into Ukraine. Now that to me is more than a bully. I can't even give Russia a name for that. That would be he's just a murderer, hiring mercenaries.
Yeah.
Paid
Okay,
so, I mean, we should help our neighbor when they are fighting.
Okay, Yeah, we hired mercenaries too in Iraq. Remember Blackwater? That went unanswered for. Betsy DeVos's brother, I can't remember his name, somebody Prince. Our government hired them as mercenaries. So what Russia did is nothing new. You know, we did as well. So, you know, we have other types of mercenaries. We'll have mercenaries all over through CIA and their contacts. You know, so Russia's not innocent by far. I'm not picking up for them. I'm not speaking on behalf of Vladimir Putin. Putin is a murderer, yes. But we have our faults in this country as well.
Of course, you know?
We do. And when
we
we can't bury our heads in the sand. We can't bury our heads in the sand and say, oh, you know, we're going there strictly to defend democracy. No, no.
I
are you going to say something?
In the back of my mind, don't think that I don't know all of that. I do know all of that. I do realize that, you know, there's money to be made, and there's I do realize that. But I just want it to be more humanitarian and, you know, for my peace of mind, I guess. So that's how I look at it today.
I'll give another quick example.
The term
that comes
to mind for me is politics is a strange animal, and in politics you end up with some strange bedfellows. I think I've got the term correct. I hope I do. It's pretty close to it. And it is politics. It's very confusing, and you end with you sometimes make friends with some strange bedfellows.
Yeah, and you make mistakes.
Yeah.
Trusting, like me, I mean, I trusted, you know, what they said with the Iraq, you know, Afghanistan war. In the beginning, I did. I really did. I mean, we all did, and maybe not David, but many of us did. And look what happened. I mean, what a shame.
We have learned that the GOP is real good at marketing lies. We have learned that. It's a tragic lesson, but we have learned from it.
Why did people fall for the Iraq lie saying weapons of mass destruction? We should have learned since 1988 and even before that, that these shysters call themselves Republicans use Willie Horton ad in 1988 campaign. That's how good the spin machine is of them lying. They put out this product, you know. So, why people fall for this lie and this garbage that Republicans put out there? The day before 9/11 happened, was it the Pentagon or the Department of Defense was missing something like $1.3 billion? Had a big press conference about it. And as soon as 9/11 happened, everybody forget about that. Where is that money gone? Up to today, you know, monies keep going missing out of the Pentagon and the State Department and things like that. There's no accountability, you know, whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president. So when these Republicans talk, you cannot believe them. They're liars. I'm not saying Democrats are perfect or angels, but politicians lie. And they're pretty tough and so good, you know, they could put shit on a platter and say, oh, this is nice, this delicious steak, you know, and the way they present it, you'd believe them. No, you can't believe any politician, especially a Republican. You know, Nixon, you know, broke the mold in 1974, it was, with Watergate, you know, but this guy Trump make Nixon look like a Boy Scout. You know, you cannot believe what Republicans say because they're fascists, they're liars, they're shysters, you know, they're criminals. And probably, you know, some Democrats are just that Republicans.
They're good at the game of diverting. When there is an issue that the people should be concentrating on, they're good at diverting and they're good at manipulating the media. They have been excellent at that. It's time we learn, and I think that we are starting to learn rapidly how to to counteract their lies. We have learned that we have to get on the media's case, And we have mm-hmm. to make the media dig a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
The media doesn't always have it easy. There are good people in there doing the reporting, but they are,
mm-hmm.
they have bad bosses. And
mm-hmm.
their bad
mm-hmm.
bosses
yeah.
will not let them print the truth all
sure.
the time.
No. Yeah, look at who own the media. Five families who own the media. Then answer it right
mm-hmm.
there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. so let's...
But moving
go
on.
Back,
on
can we
yeah, go
back
ahead.
To what we were... Before we got off
yes,
this
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next issue that we're going to compare Williamson, Biden, and Kennedy to is abortion. Abortion remains a top priority for Democratic voters after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, the landmark decision that guaranteed reproductive rights across the country last June. After the decision was overturned, many Republican-led states quickly moved to place restrictions around or pass outright bans on the medical procedure. Biden and Williamson have positioned themselves as strong advocates for abortion rights, with Williamson's campaign website describing her as 100% pro-choice. Biden has highlighted his stance on abortion during his campaign announcement, accusing MAGA Republicans of trying to dictate what health care decisions women can make. Kennedy Jr., however, has not made recent remarks about abortion, nor does his campaign site clarify his position on reproductive rights. When reached by Newsweek, a campaign spokesperson said Kennedy Jr. believes strongly in the principle of bodily autonomy, whether the issue is abortion or medical mandate. He will keep government away from women's childbearing choices. The moral issues are best left to the women, her family, and her religious community, the spokesperson added. Okay. So
okay, why religious community? Religion soon coming in. Religion has
exactly.
nothing to do. It's between the woman
exactly.
and her doctor. What is Candace
exactly.
speaking of? Candace...
Yes.
Again, the drugs are spread his brain.
Yeah, he went around the block, David, when he answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
So he really
mm-hmm.
didn't say. Because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's really decided that he's running as a Democrat. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he
mm-hmm.
is. I don't know. There's something about him that really,
mm-hmm.
I watched him on a town hall. He's scary. That's
mm-hmm.
all I can say about
mm-hmm.
him.
Let's just say he's not his uncle, any of his uncles or his father. He's a different person.
He's a conspiracy theorist. He
mm-hmm.
really is. He is a
mm-hmm.
conspiracy theorist. And that's about all I can say about him at this moment. I don't want to get into all of it, but I just feel
mm-hmm.
that he would not be good for this country, period. No way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to immigration and border control. Do you want to do that one?
Okay, immigration, border control. All three candidates have embraced different plans to tackle immigration and border control. Biden has sought to establish a more humanitarian-focused approach to immigration than his predecessors. Biden supports letting Title 42, a pandemic-era immigration policy that allows the U.S. to return migrants to their home countries without former asylum process expire. In January, Biden announced several new immigration policies, including an increase in the use of expedited removal, a tripling of refugee resettlement from the Western Hemisphere, increased humanitarian assistance in Mexico and Central America, a surge in resources to the U.S.-Mexico border. He has also introduced a policy crackdown last month that could disqualify a vast majority of migrants from being able to seek asylum at a southern border, sparking criticism from some progressives. Meanwhile, Kennedy Jr. has recently knocked Biden's immigration policies, criticizing him for not closing border.
Mm-hmm.
It's quote, it is not racist or insensitive to say that we need to close our borders and have an orderly immigration policy. expand legal immigration to this country that's orderly, that makes sense to our, for our country, but also that our borders are impervious. He also tweeted that the war, he would change U.S. policy in Central America, including ending the war on drugs and neoliberal mm-hmm. extraction of resources. There you go, the neoliberal extraction of resources. Mm-hmm. So they got to Venezuela, they got to wherever, take the people's oil mm-hmm. for little or nothing. That's mm-hmm. neoliberalism right there. And the neocons do the mm-hmm. same damn thing. Go to these countries mm-hmm. saying, oh, we're defending democracy, we're helping you, but they're stealing the people's goddamn resources like oil. Come on, man. We can't put our heads in the sand saying this don't happen. You know, we can say, oh, yeah, we're going there as a humanitarian, yes. But the other side of that is that the war industrial, the military industrial complex have a big deal to play in it, and the CIA going over there and destabilizing governments to put in our puppets to do the bidding of the United States government. That's all I'm saying. We have to look at both sides and be realistic about this. But I digress. Mm-hmm. Williamson no. has pledged support. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't disagree with you, but I'm just trying to, you know, soften it up a little. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. But look at the Central America. Again, mm-hmm. it was the height of the Cold War in 1960s, 1970s, when mm-hmm. Socialism, democratic socialism / communism was trying to be spread mm-hmm. by, you know, after the Cuban Revolution, the Soviet mm-hmm. Union trying to have a hand in Central America, Latin America, Europe. I mean, not Europe. They had, you know, Eastern Europe, but, yes. you know, places yeah, like the Caribbean. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So America... Mm-hmm. And so the former Soviet Union, USSR, were having this power struggle, this proxy war with different countries who were third world non-aligned nations. Jamaica was one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what happened to Jamaica when the Democratic Socialist yeah. Michael Manley from the People's National Party, he was center-left mm-hmm. and the Jamaica Labor Party was center-right. And what did the CIA mm-hmm. do? Went into Jamaica, gave guns and ammunition to the conservative right-leaning Jamaica Labor Party and spread mm-hmm. this red herring about Jamaica turning communist under Michael Manley and the People's National Party because they were close to Fidel Castro. Even Castro mm-hmm. himself said, hey, don't go down the way of the Cuban Revolution. Just, mm-hmm. you know, make a path for yourself using democratic socialism. Democratic mm-hmm. socialism is not communism. Far from
no,
communism. But the yep. CIA, under George Bush, who was director at that time, went into Jamaica, mm-hmm. destabilized it, caused a lot of violence. It almost caused a civil war in 1979, 1980. Mm-hmm. Over 1,000 people mm-hmm. died in the name of politics. Mm-hmm. And that was the CIA's doing. And the same thing in Central America, where, you know, socialism was a thing. You know, Panama, you know, with Noriega. The new full well, he was using the Panama Canal to transport mm-hmm. drugs to and from America,
yeah.
you know? But yet still, yeah. they say, oh, yes, he may be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch. Why? Because mm-hmm. you had, you know, the different bank accounts and whatever. It came out in WikiLeaks, the Panama Papers. People listening have to go out there and read it for themselves. Mm-hmm. We're no angels. I'm not saying Russia is yeah. good and Vladimir Putin have any reason, you know, or legitimate reason to invade Ukraine. But we have mm-hmm. to look in ourselves and say, hey, you know, we start things so that we can go into people's country, get the resources and say, hey, you know, we're going in there to defend democracy. Nah,
mm-hmm.
nah. Yeah, let's be realistic.
Okay.
Yeah. But moving on. Williamson mm-hmm. has pledged support for comprehensive immigration reform and expansion of the number of visas available to immigrants and an end to family separation among her priorities to tackle immigration. She also supports abolishing U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, which is a good thing. I agree with that. And replacing it with mm-hmm. an Office of Citizenship, Refugees, and Immigration Services under the Department of Labor. I 100% agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
How
I
about
do
you?
Too.
How about you? Uh-huh.
No, I
agree.
Elaine, how
too.
About you?
Mm-hmm.
Enforce the immigration policy. You lost me on this one. I'm trying to comprehend what you said.
Yeah, I'm saying that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement should be abolished, remove, and replace it with Office of Citizenship, Refugees and Immigration Services, which would be under the umbrella of the Department of Labor. That's what Williamson wanted to do. So what is your thoughts on that?
I can't answer that. I would have to sit down and study both sides. I cannot answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest
mm-hmm.
about it.
I know that mm-hmm. I don't like it. I'll tell you that right now. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be upset with that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And do something different. We need something different.
Mm-hmm.
We truly do.
Mm-hmm.
It's broken. You know, you can talk about closing borders all you want. Our immigration process is broken. It's
mm-hmm.
broken. And it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, be redone, you know, refurbished,
mm-hmm.
rebuilt. How do you want to put it? You know, just like a building goes down and you got to rebuild. That's what they need to do. They need to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Start over again.
Yeah, but
you know,
listen, when George Bush was in power as president, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Republicans had a great opportunity to work with Democrats and have comprehensive immigration reform. They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They voted against it. You know?
You're right about that. And that's the reason why we don't have it. We know that. We know that it's the Republicans that don't want immigration reform. They don't even want migrants in the country if they had it their way.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, we have to come together somehow, and immigration needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. It's
mm-hmm.
a huge problem in this country. It needs to be fixed, reformed.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with
right.
that.
I'm sort of glad. Go ahead.
I think I can give an opinion on this. Our country
mm-hmm.
was founded
mm-hmm.
on people escaping wars and situations.
Yeah.
And the gentleman, I think you said was he from Virginia? He
mm-hmm.
said that
yes,
our immigration problem is getting worse because we keep invading different countries and the people
mm-hmm.
end up coming here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And David, you just went through Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
Andinistas.
Panama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamaica. And every place that we got involved and the people
mm-hmm.
ended up being tortured and hurt. And
mm-hmm.
what did
mm-hmm.
they do? They wanted to come here. So I don't know what the answer is. Maybe the answer is that to keep the hell out of these other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
let the countries survive with in harmony like they were before we screwed them up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put it in flowery terms.
Mm-hmm.
If we
mm-hmm.
stay the hell mm-hmm. out of the countries and we quit stirring the pot, then we wouldn't have this
mm-hmm.
immigration problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, really screwed up Central America, for example. Central America
mm-hmm.
is still having the problems they're having because once we put puppet governments in, the puppet governments were no better than the governments that were before them, probably even worse than them. And so these puppet governments made deals with drug dealers, with mercenaries, with different types of people, you know. And
mm-hmm.
this American war on drugs is like a whole puppet show. It's rubbish. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's laughable. You know.
I mean,
when I look
at the immigration that my people came from and your people came from and Lori's
mm-hmm.
people came from, Italy, Poland, Germany, I forget which country you came from, David. Forgive me for that.
Jamaica with a British background.
Came over
and
here.
Israel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They all came over here. Because the countries
mm-hmm.
were bad. There was war going on. So
mm-hmm.
if we could just have peace, we wouldn't have an immigration problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the answer.
instead of trying to fix a door that's already broken.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we fix the real problem and quit having all these damn wars and quit interfering in other people's countries? Then we wouldn't have an immigration problem. But that sounds too easy, doesn't it?
That's too easy.
Yeah, it's like it's not so simple. That's a thing, and it's coming from generations and like 20, 30, 40 years. I remember 1949 till 1989. That's when the Cold War went on for, and all that damage that the former Soviet Union did, and all the damage that we did, you know, that's why we're having problems now in terms of immigration. You know, we'll go there, destabilize these countries. And, you know, I don't know. I can't oversimplify it or have a one sentence or two sentence thing to say, because it's a difficult situation, let's put it that way. But when George Bush was president,
say to me, before all of the trouble in Iraq, they loved their country. They loved their village. They used to enjoy the outdoor markets, but they left because of all the problems. And that is the answer, but I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look on this prime example, Libya. Okay, Gaddafi was one son of a bitch. He was one evil person. But why did we go in there and have him killed? Because he wanted the African continent to unite on the one theme, the one economic theme, and we'll go by their gold standard and drop the American currency, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a threat to us economically. So once again... Mm-hmm. The CIA went into Libya, destabilized it with no, you know, outward strategy, meaning after we did this and get rid of Gaddafi, what next for the people of Libya? You know?
Nothing.
How can we get back stability? No, they're just going there, fuck shit up, and say, okay, we're out. And no, there's almost a civil war in Libya now. There's no peace. There's no, you know, tranquility. There's no... It's just like... Just like Iraq, probably worse, where it's just a mix-up. You know?
There's no everyday life. There's no civilization. That's
what it is. Yeah. And again, I'm not picking up for Muammar Gaddafi like I wasn't picking up for Vladimir Putin. But what if we look at these things?
I do understand. And yes, I know that, you know, we have carried a big stick through the years. I know that. I would never deny it, you know. We have, but you know, it is 4th of July weekend.
Well, when the GOP says that the Democrats need to come up with an answer, well, I'd like to know what the hell their answer is. I think we have done more in trying to figure out how to stop this massive flow of immigration from all over the world. And it seems like our biggest problem now is South America. And, you know, drugs are a big business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's leaders down there that for some reason stay in power, and it has to do with money. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with our people, our business people somewhere down the line influencing it. I mean, you know, I don't know what the magic key is, except we've got to stop. If we stop the wars, we stop the massive immigration. So we've got a fire on both ends. I don't know how to fix it.
No.
I've heard any damn politician talk about it. I wish they would start listening to us.
But the thing is, who are more bigger drug dealers than the CIA? I'll just leave that question right there. You don't have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who are the biggest drug dealers more than the CIA? But, yeah.
I hear. Okay, let's go on to transgender rights. transgender rights are a hot social issue, with Republican-led legislatures passing laws targeting transgender rights, including restrictions on access to gender-affirming care for transgender youth, and limiting the ability to discuss gender identity in school. Biden has voiced support for transgender rights, but has faced some scrutiny from the LGBTQ plus advocates over his plan for transgender athletes in high school sports. His administration unveiled changes to the Title IX that recognizes that in some instances, particularly in competitive high school and college athletic environments, some schools may adopt policies that limit transgender students' participation. Williamson has called for more protections for the LGBTQ plus community, including for transgender individuals. She supports declaring transgender murder and suicide rates as a national emergency, legislation requiring a police department to ensure fair interaction with transgender people, and implementing LGBTQ plus inclusive public education, according to her campaign site. Kennedy Jr., however, has broken from most Democrats on key issues surrounding transgender rights. He told CNN in April that he is against, and I quote, against people participating in women's sports who are biologically male. He has not weighed in on other issues affecting the transgender community. And that's that. And
okay,
healthcare.
So, yeah. So wait, before we go to healthcare.
Yeah.
My thought on this is that since transgender people, they exist, so we'll have to acknowledge them, we'll have to respect them, and we'll have to show compassion towards them. And in college athletics, why not have, you know, something for them in terms of, like, for example, swimming. You know, there's this case where a female swimmer, she and a transgender person, the tied, and they decided to give the trophy to the transgender person, even though it was a tie. You know, why not have, for the transgender community in college athletics, a whole category for themselves where they compete against each other and the best person win, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not
idea.
Saying that it shouldn't exist, you know, but...
If there's enough, David, to make the team, I see no reason for... I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't. I understand.
How about you, Camille?
Huh?
Yeah,
I agree with that
100%, you know, like, but then again, the people who would have to ignore the people who would complain about that, but the people, the right wing would complain about it being exclusive. You know how the right wing waits until something is for a minority group to be complaining, but then we would have to just ignore them. You know, we know what we're doing.
Elaine, what's your thoughts on it?
You know, that is very good food for thought. I kind of like the idea. Sit down with the transgender people and have a nice dialogue, not yell and scream at them. This is what we are going to make you do. Sit down and talk with them. I got a feeling that there probably wouldn't be any problems with it.
It would be a start of something big, maybe. You just don't know. Like I said, if there's enough to make a team of some sort for some sport, however, swimming, like David said, or basketball, I don't know, baseball, then have at it. I mean, what would be wrong with that? Nothing. I don't think anything would be wrong with that. I think it would maybe benefit everybody.
Well, I don't know. We've got girls on football teams now. So,
not
you know, it.
Are there,
I don't know. You know, The thing is that the right wing, instead of sitting down and talking about it and seeing what the other side, maybe the other side has also ideas, but screaming and yelling at people, well, you're a transgender, so, you know, go to hell. We don't want nothing to do with you. We're going to pray you out. We've got to start talking to one another. And this is not a bad idea. Let's run it past the transgender people.
But like taking hormone pills, you know, okay, you're born a biological male, you take hormone pills, transitioning into a female, you know, how is it fair for women athletes in sports, and especially at a college level, to compete with a biologically born male, even though they're taking the hormone therapy and what have you, you know?
I agree with you. I've never really, really honestly thought about it, but I like the idea of, you know, having their own.
Category. Season 5, episode 15. This is Kitchen Politics 123. Visit the website, kitchenpolitics123.com. And we're talking about, you know, Independence Day tomorrow in America. What does Independence Day mean to you as an American? And why is it America, or isn't America, the greatest country in the world? You can call in. We have over 30 minutes left. 515-605-9802. We're on the kitchenpolitics123.com website. Merchandise will be up soon. Baseball caps, coffee mugs, bumper stickers, T-shirts, you know. So we're going to have that soon and all. Because election year coming up, it's an election year and that's very important to different sectors in the community. Transgender people are one of these people who are very important to our society. They contributed a lot in the development of America, just like immigrants, just like women, you know. So like, we have to be inclusive with everybody, you know, not hate. As Elaine said, we need to have dialogue, respectable dialogue. With people of different strata of society, and not like scream and shout and, you know, downplay them, and, you know, make them feel part of who America is, the social fabric of America. Wow. That's what makes America great, inclusion. Okay, absolutely. So on to healthcare. So Biden, during the 2020 presidential campaign, can back policies protecting and expanding the Affordable Care Act, or the Obamacare, passed on the former President Barack Obama. He also expressed support for public option, but has not embraced costs for single-payer health care, also known as Medicare for All, from some progressive Democrats. You know, Europe and the rest of the world, the industrialized nations, the developed world, have healthcare for all. Why America doesn't have that? Well, why? Because the medical field is all about profit now.
Goes back to money, profit, greed. That's what it goes all back to. And I think Medicare for all is a wonderful thing. I truly do. Bernie Sanders, you know, he was all for Medicare for all. I mean, I think it would be a good thing for this country. And I don't know if it'll ever happen. That's all.
Yeah, probably not in our lifetime. The Inflation Reduction Act, viewed as President Biden's signature legislation, also allowed Medicare to negotiate some drug prices in an effort to lower costs for consumers. So Republicans taking money from Big Pharma, and that charlatan in Arizona who's running as an independent, Senator Kristen Sinema. She's also a Republican light, and I hope she'll lose big time, because these politicians run on one thing, and when they're in there, they do another thing and take pharmaceutical money, take big tobacco money, take NRA money, and what have you. And it's all about their political careers and not representing the people who elected them in the first place. That needs to stop.
It does. It absolutely needs to stop. It's it's disgusting because, you know, you think that you're voting for a good candidate, and we know what happened, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They are just bought and paid for. And, you know, here the rest of, you know, the constituents sit, you know, waiting for them to do something they promised, and they just don't do it. And so that has to stop.
Look at
they have to be.
Look at insulin. Look at insulin, for example. It costs $7 to make the drug, but yet still these pharmaceutical companies want to sell them for $2,000 a month. Where can people find $2,000 a month to buy insulin that they really need to survive in order to live? You know, and so Democrats, you know, paid this legislation making it affordable per month, and Republicans shunned it and voted against it. You know, so that's why another reason why we have to get rid of Republicans in 2024 election cycle. Let's care about the bottom line and helping corporations make money. And in turn, these corporations donate money to them. And some blue dog corporatist Democrats do the same thing. So we need to get the corporatists out of Congress, even on a state legislature level. You know, it's mind-baffling, mind-blowing that these people come to office. They'll say one thing on a campaign trail, but as soon as they get in there, Kristen Sinema is the leader of that. Where so yes, I'll do this, I'll do that, and once they're in there, Big Pharma drop money.
What about
NRA, whoever?
Mm-hmm. What about Joe Manchin?
What
about, same thing.
Yeah, Joe Manchin is another example.
He is another example, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and he needs, like I said, we need people that we can trust, like AOC. I think AOC has, I think AOC is a wonderful, you know, I don't even call her a politician. I know she is, but, you know, she's behind her policies, and she hasn't changed since she's been in office. She's always fighting for the worst things, in my opinion. And, you know, So I like AOC a lot. So let's go on.
Bobby Kennedy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Bobby Kennedy and Anahan said that the Kennedy administration will go beyond making existing modalities available to include low-cost alternative and holistic therapies. There again, he's a kook that has been marginalized in a pharma-dominated system. We'll move from a sick care system to a wellness society. So he wants holistic therapies instead of, you know, life-saving drugs that are approved by the FDA, because he thinks that these drugs that are approved by FDA cause things like, we call that, when a baby is born deformed.
There could be many things. There could be all kinds of things, David. There could be Down syndrome. There could be all kinds of things. But
Down syndrome, birth defects, things like that, yes. Yeah, he's trying to blame the drugs that are used now. So if it wasn't for the drugs that were developed to fight polio, you know, a lot of people would have died up to this day. So what is Candace speaking about, you know?
I mean,
he's not a doctor.
You know, there
so.
Are people, David, the one thing that I can say, there are people that do believe in alternative medicine and holistic therapy. There are people, there's a lot of people that believe in that. And, I mean, so you can't take that away from them. But I think you could use everything. Why can't you, you know, if you want to go to a holistic doctor for something and get an opinion, your insurance should pay for that, but they do not. That's out of pocket. So, yeah, I think that would be, in my opinion, that would be okay. But the way it's set up right now, health insurance companies will not pay for holistic or alternative care. They won't do it. So, you know,
and how would they just put in their pocket?
How would get that
said again?
I have no clue. Yeah.
They give you a hard time
saying
on the regular stuff. These insurance companies are something else. You want your premium, but boy, when it comes time for them to pay for your care, they're absent. Very absent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's trying to, you know, if the standard of care and understand the alternative care, I get that. But you will never,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, it would take a miracle to convince healthcare companies like Blue Cross and Aetna and all of those to pay for that. It'll not happen. It just won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's
mm-hmm.
my opinion. I would
mm-hmm.
probably put myself down on a railroad track if it did happen, because it won't.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Every president of the United States since Harry Truman has tried to have Medicare for all. And the failed miserably, and then came
yep.
this African American president, and
yep.
compromised with Democrats. Republicans refused
mm-hmm.
to help him. Got something going for the first time in
mm-hmm.
our history that you know we'll have
mm-hmm.
some sort of system that can help people who are really sick. You know, what's the Republicans' plan? Get rid of it. What's
oh.
their plan?
Oh.
Nothing to back it up. You know,
go ahead and
if
die.
You get sick in their administration, die, and die quickly. That's the Republican plan.
That is. And then
what's really silly about the whole thing is the plan was taken off from almost word for word from what the Republicans were talking about, what Mitt Romney
mm-hmm.
did in his state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
His state has got the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans
mm-hmm.
don't want to admit anything. I don't know what's going on with them.
Because
they've all got a case of brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're
yes.
smoking, but they better change their brand.
Well,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
let them die.
Yeah.
I mean, the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is a blueprint that was taken
mm-hmm.
from the Republicans. For crying
mm-hmm.
out loud,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to give them credit for something, but yet they want to blow it out of the water. It doesn't make
yep.
any sense
mm-hmm.
to me at all.
Nope, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
William
yes.
Wilkinson has called for an overhaul of the country's health care system, including pivoting to a Medicare for All system, which she says will end the incredible amount of waste in her healthcare system. Her plans also include expansion to long-term healthcare, requiring health professionals to inform patients of different treatment options and support for the government to negotiate drug prices. I agree with her plan. I don't disagree
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
that. That's the three mm-hmm. candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think, realistically, because of his last name, that Robert Kennedy Jr. stands a chance of giving Joe Biden a run for his money?
Well, no.
Sorry.
But in certain states, he is polling a little higher
mm-hmm.
than I thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
So... But I don't think it's going to be enough for him to be a nominee. No, he is too...
Mm-hmm.
He's out there. I mean, if you listen
yeah.
to him talk for a while, he talks so fast, and he's like in an alternative universe, in my opinion. I mean, I think
mm-hmm.
he's a dumb
mm-hmm.
man. He's probably a very intelligent man. I know he's a lawyer, but his ideas just didn't sit right with me. When I watched him with that
mm-hmm.
on that town hall, it just his ideas
mm-hmm.
are too far-fetched for me. Like conspiracy
how about you?
Type.
How about you, Khalil and Elaine? What do you think about Bobby Kennedy Jr.?
I think Bobby Kennedy Jr. is probably well schooled, but
mm-hmm.
I think he's incompetent. That's the
mm-hmm.
term I'm going to give him. He's incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
You can be well
mm-hmm.
schooled, and you can be incompetent. I'm sure that we've
mm-hmm.
all had an attorney that we thought was going to do things for our best interests, and they turned out to be incompetent, and that's how he strikes me.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
he is also
mm-hmm.
pandering. He is also pandering to the right.
Mm-hmm.
I have
exactly.
listened to him, and he sends these little signals.
Oh, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
He sends these little
mm-hmm.
signals to the right.
Yes, like I said earlier, I don't think he's really decided. I truly do not believe he's decided that he's going to run as a true Democrat. I really feel that way. If you listen to him talk,
mm-hmm.
he is very,
mm-hmm.
very washy and walks all around the issues, and who knows where he's going to land. That's the way I feel about
mm-hmm.
him.
He's a Kennedy, but that doesn't mean he's a progressive, and that doesn't mean
nope.
he's a Democrat.
His own family.
All he is
mm-hmm.
is a Kennedy. I don't vote
mm-hmm.
for a name.
Mm-hmm. Khalil, what's your thoughts on that?
I haven't really researched him, but, you know, he doesn't sound like a good candidate. He might be educated, but he doesn't sound like a good candidate. And we also don't
mm-hmm.
need someone that's going to be dancing around his face and stuff like that, because I've had a lot of people do
mm-hmm.
that to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thoughts on Canada is that he's not his father nor either of his uncle John or Ted Kennedy. He's no progressive by a long shot. He's pandering to the right, and all these shows that he's been on has been right-leaning, right-wing. Why doesn't he come on MSNBC and other left-leaning shows? Because they'll tear him apart. They'll tear him to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Joe Rogan, talk his conspiracy bullshit, and people just eat it up. Why? Because his last name is Kennedy. If his name was like
mm-hmm.
Robert Smith, you know, with people listening to him, no. You know, but yeah, he's a Kennedy. Oh my God, nostalgia is in the air. You know,
yeah.
Too many people going to vote for him just because of his name alone. I'm not saying he's not an intelligent person. He's been an environmentalist lawyer for years. He's done well in that profession, in that field. But he is not qualified or ready to become president of the United States. And the biggest fear I have to him is that some psycho out there, because he's a Kennedy, they try to assassinate him, like how they did
mm-hmm.
Bobby, his father, and John F. Kennedy. That's the
mm-hmm.
bottom line. And America has been
yep.
gone through so much trauma already. We don't need any more trauma. You know, we
mm-hmm.
need fresh, intelligent people who has
yes,
come up through the ranks, has been a city
mm-hmm.
council person, a congressperson,
mm-hmm.
a senator, a governor. You know, just because he named Kennedy, he hasn't served
mm-hmm.
in a political office, so why does he think he can become president of the United States? You know, come on, though. Come.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
There's one last thing that I want to talk about for a moment. The Italian far-right government limits parental rights of same-sex couples. Now, this is in Italy. Gay rights activists on Tuesday denounced as homophobic moves by the Italian Premier Giorgia Meloni's far-right-led government. Now, she's a fascist, so everyone... I want
mm-hmm.
everyone to know that, to limit recognition of parental rights to the biological parent only in the case of same-sex parents. The city of Milan has been told to stop officially recording both parents and same-sex couples on city registers. It had been the last major city in Italy to be doing so. Earlier, a smattering of administrations had briefly embraced the practice of recognizing both parents regardless of sexual orientation, but they all stopped following instructions from the central government. The piece of bureaucracy is key to recognizing parental rights for a range of everyday situations like authorizing medical treatment or participation in class outings. The president of Rainbow Families, Alyssa Concini, said the move exposed the Meloni government's homophobia. This government is the maximum expression of homophobia, she said. Meloni says that for a child to grow up well, they need a mother and a father, even if decades of research says otherwise. It is insulting to the hundreds of thousands of families with two same-sex parents.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so Meloni is a crackpot, and she's related to Benito Mussolini. We all know that. And the fascist party is back in power, the far-right party that Mussolini formed. And now
mm-hmm.
she's the head of the party. I mean, congratulations.
Yep.
She's the first female prime minister of Italy. You know, we need more female leaders, but not the likes of her.
They got it wrong, though. They got it wrong. Why did they vote for a fascist? I mean, why?
Well, because, yeah, because, you know, nostalgia, I guess, and like what happened here in this country, nostalgia. When you hear a name, Bush or Rockefeller or Kennedy or whoever, you know, like, oh, nostalgia, you know? And this person may be a blithering idiot, like how we had George W. Bush. Like, oh, Bush, yes, you know? No, it just, it never stops, man. Well, she's amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing that she's trying to do is, you can only speak Italian in the country. That is it. That is the only language that will be recognized if she gets her way. You have to think about this. Tourists, the tourist industry is what keeps Italy afloat. And, you know, the people that work in the restaurants and in the you know, the hotels, et cetera, in the villages, they all can, most of them, many of them can speak English because that's where they make their money. So she's a goofball. She is a goofball. Plain and simple. So I guess
and just like in the United States.
What I'm trying to say is that it's just not here in America that we have crazy people, okay? That are trying to destroy our country. They're out there in other countries as well.
They're trying to destroy the world.
Yeah,
the thing is, America, the Republicans in America, trying to take a leaf out of Maloney's playbook. And also, Le Pen in France, who was defeated in the presidential elections 2 years ago, where they're far-right leaning, French only, Italian only. Just like in America, speak English only. They want English to be the national language. And they want Christianity to be the official religion of America. But we keep trying to tell these kooks, these nut jobs, that America was not formed on Christian principles. It was from the people who were escaping religious persecution from wherever they came from, you know? So, I mean, you know, the whole madness has to stop.
In Canada, they want to speak nothing but French, and they want to fly the fleur-de-lis, or however you pronounce it. They don't want to fly the Canadian flag. There's been a lot of crap going on in Quebec. I haven't heard anything lately, but there was for a while a lot. I don't know. There's got to be another virus that's going around that's attacking people.
And then one more thing. In Barcelona, police ordered a local mayor in southern Spain to take down a rainbow flag put up to celebrate gay pride on Friday because it was illegal. More than 300 households in the village rallied to the cause and flew their own flags. So they had a by the time the gay pride celebrations took place in Spain on Sunday, the village of Algadia near Malaga was awash with flags hanging from balconies, windows, and even a bar in solidarity. So there you go. You know? So that's what I'm trying to say. It's just not us, you know, that's off the grid here, kind of crazy. Other countries are struggling as well. But we live here.
This background, I mute the person. The background noise is killing me. Okay, so now we'll just have 10 minutes left. Time to wrap up on everything. So, final thoughts on Independence Day America. You know, of course, there's been shootings on this weekend, this Independence Day weekend and everything. We saw what happened in Maryland. 28 seriously hurt, 2 dead. And it's been happening all over the country. Every time these national holidays come up, we have a problem with gun violence.
sick of this topic, but we'll have to, like, close out with it. Do you think we'll ever have gun control, comprehensive gun control, like we did during Clinton's administration, where the ban assault weapons?
I think that it's a possibility if President Biden is elected, if we have the House, and if we have the Senate. The problem we have is the Supreme Court. They have to do something with the Supreme Court as well.
Expand the Supreme Court.
Yes, and from what I've read, David, there is a list. They're trying to do that. I don't know who's on the list. I didn't read who was on the list. But, yeah, expand the Supreme Court would be an option. So I think if all those things happen, there's a chance. There's a good chance. Yes.
Elaine, what's your thoughts on it?
Oh, I would just like to see us start going at one issue at a time and getting it resolved. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on. I think everybody needs to take a couple issues and work on them. That's the only way we're going to resolve it. And we've just...
Yeah, how we can resolve it is by voting out Republicans.
Just,
talking
people. Talking. I think today this is probably, in my opinion, one of the better shows we've had. We've had various differences of opinion, but we talked to one another. And we found out that even with the differences of opinion, there were things that we agreed upon.
Of course. You can always find
I think that this is what we need. And I just hope that the people that are Democrats can keep that in mind. Both, you know, and there's a lot of good Republicans out there. Would you please, start talking to one another? Go back to being nice. That's what I want for independence.
The problem with that, Elaine, is that you cannot talk to people who... You know, not they take a moment to listen to your side of the story or your solutions. They want to yell at you. I want to think that they're yelling at you and speaking over you to think they win the conversation. You know, who would want to speak to someone like that?
Tonight is proven to people that you can have differences of opinion. I hope that we gather, that you and Larry gather more people to join in on the conversation, not the crazies. There are a lot of sensible people out there. We're waiting for your ideas. We're waiting for them. And some of them are going to be much different than ours, but we want to hear them. Without the yelling and the screaming making a person feel inferior. That's uncalled for.
It is.
Yeah, the thing is, nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent, you know. So they can say all the things they want to say, you know. If somebody, you know, wants to call you an idiot or whatever, hey, it's on them, you know. If they want to support a man who grabs women by the pussy and who speaks garbage, can't put two sentences together, who, you know, assaults women, then, hey, I don't want to have a conversation with that person. I want nothing to do with that person who would vote for a man who do all those things. They're not worthy of my opinion.
I hear you.
Know?
But
thank you, everybody, for calling in. It's been a wonderful show. Elaine, thank you so much. Khalil, thank you so much.
Khalil, thank you. Have a good course. Elaine,
you
have
too.
A good course.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, that was Elaine, and that was Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and Elaine is from Michigan. So this has been Season 5, Episode 15, Happy Independence Day, America. That's the title. And what does Independence Day mean to you as an American? Why is or isn't America the greatest country in the world? That's the two main topics that we're focusing on tonight. And we spoke about different campaigns. In the Democratic primary, we spoke about what's happening in Italy and how is it similar to what's happening in America. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight and sharing across social media. Our website is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have merchandise up and running soon enough. And until next Sunday. and Monday. Same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Ticka from Michigan. Everyone be safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.
Thank you.